One of the things that stops small business owners from creating marketing content consistently is this feeling of being uninspired, of having no idea what to say in the first place. If you can relate to this, you are in good company. So many of us struggle with knowing what our marketing content should actually be about. But I am here to help. I have come up with 100 prompts that you can use to guide your marketing, from your social media posts to your emails to your longer form content. I guarantee that these prompts will get you inspired and that you'll have more ideas than you even know what to do with. You can download this list of 100 marketing prompts for free at makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. That's makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. Welcome back to Making Good, the podcast for small businesses who want to make a big impact. I'm your host, Lauren Tilden, and this is episode 225. As soon as the pitch for Doreen Vanderhart landed in my inbox, I knew I had to have her on the show. She is passionate about bringing ease back to marketing and trading burnout for gentle yet strategic marketing plans. I loved geeking out with someone who is so on the same page as me in so many ways. Doreen Vanderhart is the founder of Knapp Creative, a social media marketing and website design agency located near Lethbridge, Alberta. She started Knapp Creative because she believes there is an easier and less stressful way to get your goodness into the hands of your people. Doreen and her team offer inspiration and marketing services and are here to support you in living an intentional, relaxed, meaningful life. Does that not sound like the best? If Doreen had one message for my audience, it would be this: take the pressure off and trust yourself. In our conversation, we chatted about how to do just that and so much more. Doreen is such a fun, energetic person to talk to, and I know that you will enjoy listening to our conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. In this episode, we discussed how to come up with your very first marketing plan, why being 100% ready isn't necessary to begin marketing, how to figure out which type of marketing is right for you, how to figure out which marketing tactics are best for your goals, ways to avoid the hustle to burnout pipeline, and how marketing can help, and more. Here's my conversation with Doreen.
Hey, Doreen, welcome to Making Good.
Hey, Lauren, I'm so happy to be here. I know everybody says that, but I'm pumped.
I'm so glad to have you. As I mentioned before I hit record, we received like a pitch email from you or from your PR person. And It was one of like an immediate yes from me when I read it. It was just like so up my alley, so aligned with how I think about and approach marketing that I knew I wanted to chat with you. So I'm very, very excited to pick your brain and just kind of geek out all things marketing. But before we do, I want to hear a little bit, like for my own interest and for folks listening, tell us about what you do now in Knapp Creative and maybe a little bit about the path to coming to do what you do now.
Okay, so that's honestly, first of all, super nice. Kudos to my publicist, Christina Bizzle, for hooking me up with you, because I would have never heard you either if she wouldn't have connected us. And I've listened to your podcast and loved it also. So it's just wonderful the way that works.
Yay.
The way that I started Knapp Creative was, honestly, I feel like marketing and graphic design is kind of just who I am as a person. I remember just as a kid, you know, ripping pages out of the Reader's Digest and relaying them out so that they were, in my opinion, better. I'm sure they weren't. But, you know, I've just always been really interested in that kind of stuff. But my job didn't exist when I was a kid. Like this social media marketing, that was not a thing. So I know in my high school yearbook, I put as like my career path that I was going to choose. It was 100 years ago, so I'm just dating myself here, but I put webmaster because I thought that was cool. So that was a thing back then. I graduated in 2003. And that was what they called like website designers back then. So, and now it's just like, it's a whole new world with the way that we approach marketing and the opportunities and the tools that we can use. So I started out as a designer, and then I found I was doing a lot of like, I would design something for someone and then pass it off. And that made me sad because I would be like, bye, good luck with your business. See you never. And I'm very much a collaborative person. I want to be in your corner, growing it with you. I'm also a super big nerd about like psychology and the way that our brains work and all of that stuff. So it kind of like really naturally evolved into marketing and the way that marketing is now. And then as far as like the business, like I've dabbled for 20 years, I want to say, a long, long time, most of my life. And it was in 2018 when I officially, you know, opened the doors to Knapp Creative. And I didn't plan to grow it to be a whole team. Like, it was always just a really great creative outlet for me. And that's really the biggest motivation, is just because I love doing it. And then I remember calling my sister and being like, hey, I have an idea. I was going to do a workshop. I was like, is this cool or dumb? And she gave it to me straight. She was like, this is cool. I'll help you. And she was actually my first staff member ever, was my sister. She worked here for a long time. She doesn't anymore, but she did work here for a long time, and she helped me to grow it into what it is today. And now it's me, and we have actually three other women on staff who love it just as much as I do, which I didn't know that was even a thing, but it's awesome. So yeah, we help women to really, like I said, we're in your corner. It's very collaborative. We want to help you grow a business and a brand that's the stuff of legends while still living a really purposeful, intentional, relaxed kind of lifestyle. So that's really what we're all about.
I love it. Can you share a little bit about what kinds of services you offer your clients, and maybe a little bit about also what do you work with, a typical like industry typically or category of businesses?
Yeah. So services, I'll start with industry. I know there's a lot of advice to you listening to niche down. And I'm not saying don't niche down, but I'm also saying niches can be in a lot of different ways. Like, you can niche down on your person. You could niche down on what, you know, phase of business they're at. You can niche down on what industry they're in. We have not niched down on industry because I find so much inspiration through, you know, pulling an idea from a nutritionist into a travel advisor account, or, you know, like we work with such a variety of different women. And I just find that's really helpful for us to stay inspired and keep things really fresh, because we're not stuck in one industry all the time. So yeah, we work with, you know, a certain type of person, but they can do literally anything. And then as far as services, I have a huge heart for small businesses. So I try to always have something that's really accessible so that people can kind of like use our expertise, but have their feet on the ground. So it kind of like the easiest or the most accessible way to work with us would be a 360 brand assessment. So we look at your website, we look at your social media, we look at your entire online presence, and we look at it from like a design perspective, but also the strategic and the messaging perspective. And we tell you exactly what you need to do to attract your client. Like, we talk about your goals in the beginning, and then we tailor our advice to what you're trying to do. And then you can do it yourself. So I think that's really great. And then we do create content for our clients. We have clients on retainer that we're just always, like I said, in their corner, helping them out with who knows what. It's always like the first call, help, I don't know who to go to for this. That's us. So that's kind of our retainer clients. But yeah, like I said, a lot of content for like Instagram, email marketing, that kind of stuff. And we also do show it website design as well. So lots of stuff. If it's online and it has to do with branding or marketing, we probably can help you out.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to hear from you about was kind of just the where to start question. Like, for the small business owner who's very early on in their journey with marketing, maybe they haven't done much marketing yet, but they've been in business for a while, or maybe they're a brand new business. When someone is thinking about marketing, which is like how to reach new people and make more sales, hopefully, how do you guide people through like coming up with that marketing plan?
Ooh, okay. So how many minutes do I have to talk about this? Because I could talk about this for I'm just kidding. I'll try to keep it short. But okay. So the first thing is, it can be really easy in this space to get stuck in the planning phase. And this is something that I've fallen into myself as well, where it's like you can plan, and, you know, try to do all the tactics and do all the things that all the experts are telling you to do. And all of that planning isn't going to get you anywhere. It's going to be the actual doing of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest piece of advice, is even if it's not perfect, and it probably won't be, honestly, it's going to be messy. It's going to be awkward in the beginning, but just start showing up. And the second part of it is, don't expect results immediately. This is very much the long game. It doesn't happen overnight. Like, I've been doing this for, like I said, dabbling for 20 years, hung my shingle in 2018. And like, it's a humming, thriving business, but it's taken a long time of me showing up all the time to get there. And then as far as like the actual game plan. I think that was kind of your question too. Sorry, I can't not give advice to take
action. I love both of those things so much. I'm so on board.
Awesome. I figured you would be, having listened to your podcast. I was like, Lauren's down with this for sure.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. So as far as like creating a general marketing plan, I tried to keep this kind of not generic, but this is the stuff that's going to work for every platform, anytime, no matter when. Like, this isn't going to change, right? Like, as evergreen as possible. So the first thing that I would do is like kind of look at your month or your quarter and think about like what you're looking to sell, right? Like, you have to really tailor your content to your business goal. So look at what you're trying to sell first. And also, when you're looking at this, you want to look at like the seasonal shifts that are happening or the dates that people should be aware of. Like right now, as we're recording, we're going into like the holiday season and Black Friday and all of that stuff. But even in the springtime, maybe that's a really big season for your clients, or the new year or summer, like whatever it is, just be aware of what's coming up, because you can tailor your content according to that. Then you want to come up with like a few topics that are aligned with your offer or your expertise. This is a lot easier to do for a service business than product. I find product is a little bit of a different strategy, but you can still do it. Like, you can base it on kind of the lifestyle of your products, right? Or the person that's going to be purchasing your products. So once you have kind of that stuff in, then you need to just brainstorm, like, how is your person feeling right now? How can you help her? What questions does she have? The longer that you're doing this and the more that you do this, the more you're going to be familiar with who your person is. And that's also a really important part, is like to be able to get into her head, you need to have a really good idea of who she is. From there, just jot down like a list of, you know, post headlines or ideas, and then hopefully you're feeling super inspired and you can just kind of take it and run. Does that sort of answer the question, Lauren?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to dig in a little bit with maybe some examples, going from that point of, you know, I know what I'm trying to promote this time of year, and I know kind of what's going on in my ideal customer's life, and then the just like general landscape of like the season, deciding what those kind of main things we're going to talk about are. I find, and like looking at your content, I think you talk to your audience about this as well. I find that so many people struggle with just like, what is it that I'm creating content about? Like, what are the content ideas? What are the topics that I'm sharing about? So like, could we just maybe make up a one service-based business and then one product-based business, and like kind of take folks through what that might look like at that stage?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't normally like put people on the spot like this. I just had a sense you'd be down. So thanks for being my guinea pig.
Yeah.
But I think a service provider, like let's say the service provider is a professional organizer, and let's say like home organizer, and let's say the product-based business is like a candle company.
Hang on. I'm just going to back up for one quick second before I even go there. I'm going to also say, if you're in this position where you're freezing up because you don't know what your topics should be, know that it doesn't have to be permanent. So you can try it on for size, and if it doesn't feel good, you can change it. So I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to like have the answer and have it figured out and have it 100% before we can, you know, ship anything. And it's not, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, you can try something on, and if it feels bad, don't do it. So as far as like a home organizer, I think like, you know, minimalism could be like a really big topic if that's your jam, right? Like, it has to match up to who you are. So also think about who you are and who your client is. But, you know, and like decluttering, daily habits that you can do to, you know, keep your home as organized as possible. Is this helpful?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like little hacks for organizing things, or really just share even as you go throughout your day. I feel like this for the candle company too, like those little pockets of joy when you light the candle, or like, it sounds so dumb, but those are a big part of the lifestyle that you're promoting. So what are you doing throughout your day that's promoting that lifestyle? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that could be the home organizer. The candle, like I said, I have a really hard time product wise. This is why I have a team, because I don't have to do it all myself. But really, really just same thing. Like what's kind of their lifestyle, and what are some like routine tips or hacks that you can share? What's going to brighten up their days? Those are the kind of things, or even like curation with a product-based business. Like, what are other things that are bringing you the same level of delight as a candle might? Your audience is probably going to be interested in that kind of stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the idea of like choosing the right marketing tactics. So when it comes to marketing, we can feel like we have to be doing everything. There are so many different options. There's social media. There's 1,000 different platforms there and 1,000 gurus telling us how much we should be posting and what we should be posting. There's email marketing. There's websites. There's like PR. Like there's ads. There's all kinds of options that we might incorporate into our marketing like approach. How do you guide your clients through figuring out what tactics and what tools and what platforms to utilize to help them meet their goals?
Yeah, this is a doozy for sure. This is just, it's a big, big question. And like you said, there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of messaging about shoulds, all of the things we're doing. So the first thing that I always look at, even when I sit down with someone like in a discovery call where we're looking to work together and they're like thinking that they want to do, let's say, Instagram marketing, I'm like, can we just back up a second and make sure that this is right? Mm-hmm. So I always ask, where are your people coming from right now? So like the leads or the customers that are in your business right now, where did they come from? Because if something in your marketing is already working, we want to crank that up as much as possible, right? Like we don't want to focus on always doing the new shiny thing. Like if you've got something that's already working, let's capitalize on that and let's make that as big as possible first. So that's always my first question. Then the second kind of comes from your goals, right? Like it really comes down to what you're trying to do. So if you are trying to, let's say you have a digital product, you need to sell so many of those to make, well, no, it depends. I'm talking about like a low ticket digital offer, right? You need to sell of them to make a little bit of money. Whereas if you have a high ticket, like one-on-one service offering, you only need a couple of leads. So your strategy is going to look really different. So really just look at your goals. Like, are you trying to reach a huge audience? I know for us a few years ago, like our Instagram, I think we had 300 people in our community on Instagram and we were booked out. It was me and my sister at the time, like full time, like we were busy and we only had 300 people. So I find people get really, and I do this myself too, get really wrapped up in the followers you have and how high your engagement is and all that stuff. But really, you don't probably need as much as you think you do. So look at your goals. And then the third part you're going to look at is your skills. Like, what's actually sustainable for you? Because if you are not willing to show up on Instagram stories, you're going to have a hard time. So on that particular platform, right? So then maybe you should look at more of like a PR or in-person networking or a different kind of strategy. So there's different, oh man, I wish I could just like take my whole brain and just put it to everybody. but depending, so I always say there's the customer journey, right? Like you want to attract new people to your brand because in order for them to purchase from you, they need to be aware that you exist first. Then you need to nurture that relationship, right? Because they need to be able to trust you to buy. And then you need to invite them into working with you or purchasing from you. So those are kind of the three phases: attract, nurture, and invite. And there are different strategies that you can employ for each phase of the customer journey. So if you are looking to just build a really big audience because you have that low ticket digital offer, then you're going to focus on a lot more attract strategies, which is going to be things like TikTok or Reels on Instagram if you're there. Things like speaking on podcasts, summits, bundles, that kind of stuff is going to really build your audience. That's the kind of stuff you need to do if you want a lot of eyeballs on your stuff. But if you have a more one-on-one, like a specialized offer, then you don't need to focus on that stuff at all. I personally don't have a TikTok and I'm good with that, even though it's in my industry. And for a second there, I was like, oh, shoot, I should do this because I'm supposed to be an expert. It's not for me. And that's okay because I don't need a billion eyeballs on my stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a question that we may have touched on a little bit already, but how do you know which marketing tactics are best for your goals?
Yeah, it really comes down to the customer journey of looking at, again, the attract, the nurture, and the invite, and then look at the platforms that you enjoy spending time on. I'm going to use Instagram as an example because I love Instagram and it has all the parts. So if, for example, I'm looking to grow my audience and I want to attract new people to my brand, I'm going to focus a lot more heavily on Reels. Because that's where you get new people. Same with carousels. That's kind of where that comes from. Then for the nurture portion of the client journey, I'm going to focus on Instagram stories and also for convert, to be honest, lots of selling. Instagram stories is just gold for selling stuff. So just depending on, yeah, like I said, look at where you're looking to focus. And this, again, doesn't have to be permanent, right? Like, you're not going to forever be focused on attract strategies, but maybe, you know, you don't have a lot to sell right now, but you know you're going to have something down the road, you know, in the season to come. Focus on attract strategies for a month or so and, you know, pump out a bunch of reels. And then you're going to switch over to nurture once you have those people in there. But you're always going to have people at every phase of the customer journey. So just lean in one or the other. You don't have to do them all at the same time. It just makes it so much more easy to pick up when you just focus on one at a time.
Yeah, I love that. I would love to actually maybe dig into this a little bit more, because one of the things you just said that I thought was really interesting and I want to underline for people is the idea that Instagram is kind of effectively many platforms in one. There's like, you know, there's with Instagram, there's stories, there's reels, there's live, if you want to do live, there's carousels, there's just single static posts. There's a lot of different ways to use the tool. And so how do you think about, for example, you said, you know, you think about stories as where you do the nurturing and the selling. How might you approach creating different content for the different part, like the different purposes and parts? So if you're using reels and carousels for getting in front of new people and you're using stories for nurturing and selling, how does that affect the different types of content that you're going to create for those two places?
This is a great question. So I think for attracting people, like in reels and carousels, you want to really kind of try to get into the head of the person who's discovering you, right? That's where you kind of want to hit them, like top of funnel. So what is someone who isn't aware of you? So it's less intimate content, I guess. And it's something that's really helpful and like shareable and savable. That's the kind of content that you're going to want to do for the people that are just discovering you, right? Like stuff that's very enticing and that's going to want them coming back for more, bingeable content, essentially. I hate, like, you know, buzzwordy words, but that's what we want to create for that. And then like for the stories and the, like, you're still going to be doing some nurturing in the grid as well. But really I find stories are great because they can be off the cuff. As this whole podcast is, you can tell it's just my jam. Like I like just talking about what's on my heart in the moment and what's on my mind, right? So, but with stories, you can do a lot of like, there's a lot of different ways that you can position your offer to sell. And it doesn't sound stale and dry because you're doing the same old thing day after day after day. So you can talk about like the problem and then present yourself as a solution and then the result of purchasing from you. You can also like dig into their problem. Like what is the, you know, for example, today in my Instagram stories, I said, why aren't you sharing on Instagram stories? But then providing value around that topic and then leading it into your offer, if that makes any sense. Like there's a billion ways that you can approach selling on Instagram stories and, you know, positioning and framing your offer in different ways. So it just keeps it really fresh and fun and you don't have to overthink it. Like you can show up today and then you don't have to think that hard because you're going to show up again tomorrow. So it just takes the pressure off.
Yeah, I think a really interesting sort of through line of a lot of the things you've said has been just like letting yourself take the pressure off a little bit, not expecting to get it exactly perfect on the first go or even the second go, like just being willing to like take action, you know, create content, put it out there, trust that it's going to get better over time. But, you know, I think having a bias toward just doing it versus like getting it exactly right.
Yeah, you nailed it. You got it. You know exactly everything that I'm about now. So you're set.
Another thing you said in kind of your intro was around how a part of your mission is really helping people do great marketing so that their businesses succeed without overwhelming their entire life and sacrificing their personal lives and like missing out on what they care the most about. Can you just maybe riff on that a little bit? Like, I think this is a bit of an epidemic for small business owners, like the hustle, 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 like grind into the, you know, into the wee hours, the sacrificing so much. Why does marketing have anything to do with that?
I think it's a really time consuming and also brain consuming part of your business, right? Like, I feel like there's always more that you can do. So then you feel like there's more that you should do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always mean that that's true. And I've fallen into this trap myself, and I've burned myself out. I'm sure, Lauren, you can speak into the same thing, where I think we've all done it, right? Where we've worked way more and way harder than we should have. And you're not working at full capacity in that scenario either. And then too, it's like, why are we doing what we're doing? So if I look at Knapp Creative, like, yes, it was a creative outlet, but also the business started as, this is a really great way for me to be home with my kids when they were super small, right? Like, that's a really important part of what I do. And also for the women on my team, and also for my clients. Like, it's not necessarily, they're not home with little kids, but everybody has a life, and it's not just work, even though you love what you do. So what is the stuff that really you're gonna not regret spending your time doing? That's what it should be, not your marketing and not your business necessarily. I'm not saying don't, but just be careful.
Mm-hmm. And how do you actually do that? Like, how do we make sure that we're building businesses and designing an approach to marketing that leaves room for and, like, even prioritizes our life above everything else?
Okay, so many things. So one, quit overthinking, because you're going to save like 90% of your time right there. So that's one. Just put it out. It's fine. It's going to be great. So that's the first one. Then also, like, I have a team behind me, which is wonderful. I know that it seems like you're just meeting me now when everything is here. Not that I'm there, but you know what I mean? It took a long time, and it took a lot of, like, trial and error for me to get here. And I started slow. Like, I didn't start with a team of three or four of us. I started with my sister part-time, and then we kind of just worked our way up as it kind of grew. So don't be scared to ask for help is really another one. Is like, don't be scared about it. You don't have to do everything yourself. In fact, it's going to be better if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, there's so many. Lauren, I could talk about every single question for like an entire hour.
I'm doing my job.
Yes. I have a lot of really great, like, I grew up with a lot of, like, kind of, this sounds hilarious and kind of ridiculous, but like old school kind of habits. So that's helped me a ton in just like lifestyle wise, the fact that like I sit down for dinner with my family every single night, like those kind of priorities have always been a part of my life. So it's been very easy for me to build that in, like, just continue on. But I really do try to be a very efficient person. I love to plan. I'm behind every single person here that loves to plan and gets stuck there. But it does help. It does help me to be more efficient, is to plan things out and have a schedule and have a routine. All of that kind of stuff is really important too. Ooh, what else? I feel like that's three good, solid ways.
Yeah, I love, like, I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth here, but like the fact that you sit down for dinner every day as like a non-negotiable for you, like, that inherently creates some constraints on your work time and how much it can expand into your personal life. So it sounds like you just have a time of day where, like, you have to be done by that point, and like there's no stretching it. And knowing that probably helps you, like you say, be more efficient and kind of stop that scope creep and like spread of tasks that can happen.
Yeah, it does. And it sounds, again, like I'm just here and I've been here the whole time, but I haven't. Like, I it took me years to get here. And yeah, but it's also, think about why you're doing what you're doing, right? Like, it is partly for my family. So it would be dumb for me to not spend time with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds very obvious, but I know it's easier said than done too. But really putting those boundaries on, like, what are your non-negotiables? Like, what do you want to prioritize in your life? And really protecting that, like, that it's always a work in progress, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. Love. Perfect notes to start transitioning to the questions that I get to ask all the guests on my podcast. The first one is, how do you approach doing good through your business?
Okay, so this is a question that I feel like can be interpreted a million different ways. But I think just in the good for my family, like what we do. So I'm just going to start with me, and I'm going to like spread out the ripples, right? Then for the team, this is also like a really like flexible, amazing, fun job that they get to do. And then also to our clients, they have that much more flexibility and fun in their lives. And then with the money that we make, we actually donate a portion of our proceeds, like a pretty significant portion, to the Seek Her Foundation. It's an American, you know, women's mental health, basically. foundation that's really amazing, but there's multiple, like there's like 5 or 6 different charities that we do donate every single month. And I think that's just so awesome to be able to just like the ripple effect of this is so huge and delicious. It just makes me so happy.
Love. Okay. What is one small business that you admire?
Okay. So this is hard because there's so many, but I think someone that I always look back to for inspiration is she's a small business, but also very much first to human. Her name is Elise Joy. She created the Get to Work book, which is a planner, like a physical analog planner, which I love. but she shares her journey. Just she shares what she's up to. And right now it's Get to Work book is very much on the back burner, but she's always got a project on the go. And she just shares as she's going. And it's super inspiring. And it's just fun to watch. Like literally anything that she's selling, I want to buy it just because of the way that she approaches it. So I really do look up to her for a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, I am familiar with her as well. I feel like I followed her on my art account, which I don't use so much anymore. So this is a very fun throwback that I'll have to go re-find her and catch back up on her. She's awesome. Very cool. I will link to that. We'll link to her and the Get to Work book in the show notes. What is a book recommendation?
Okay, this is, also a hard question. Like, I just don't know. But okay, so Elise Joy, she wrote a book. It's called Big Dreams, Daily Joys. And it's really, it's the same person as we were just talking about. It's just a delightful little coffee table book. You can always flip through it. That's not actually my favorite book. That's not the one I was going to recommend, but that's a good one. I also really, really love, I'm a huge nerd about the Enneagram. So if I had to pick like my top one favorite book, it probably would be The Road Back to You. It's an Enneagram. Who wrote it? Ian Cron. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend. It's helped me so much, like in giving a great client experience, but also like in my personal relationships, just knowing a little bit about how other people tick and why. And it's just super duper helpful tool for life.
What's your Enneagram?
2 Wing 3. What's yours?
3 Wing 4.
Ooh. Which, I love knowing people's types.
If you don't know, folks, what your Enneagram is, it is a really, really helpful tool just to like kind of understand like maybe some of your actions and how you show up in the world. So there's lots of assessments you can take. So maybe I'll find one to link to it. But that's a great recommendation, that book. I actually haven't read it, so maybe this is the nudge I need.
I think if you know your Enneagram off the top of your head, you need to read it. Like it's just It's a good tool, Lauren. It's seriously, like, you know this. I feel like when I know someone's type, I can see into their soul. Not to put people into boxes, but it's so helpful.
Love. Very fun. Okay. This has been so much fun, Doreen. Tell everyone, for those who are just very into your style and your approach to marketing and business, tell folks where they can find you online, where they can connect with you, see your work, all the things.
Okay. Awesome. So I'm a Canadian-based businesses. So knapcreative.ca, spelled knapcreative.ca. And then you can also find me. I love to hang out on Instagram. I think that's pretty clear through this conversation. So knap.creative on Instagram. And yeah, I look forward to, I hope that we can connect.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I loved geeking out marketing with someone who is so on the same page as me in so many ways. And I just appreciate your generosity with your knowledge and expertise. This has been a blast.
Oh, thanks, Lauren.
Well, listener, I hope Doreen's message was received. The small business hustle can be so real, but it doesn't have to lead to burnout. If Doreen sounds like someone that you would like to work with, you can learn more about Knap Creative and find links to all the recommendations mentioned in this episode at makinggoodpodcast.com/225. I would love for you to take a screenshot of your podcast player while you're listening to the episode and tag me on social media at Lauren Tilden. If you enjoyed this episode, I would be so grateful to have your support. Here are a couple of ways that you can give back to Making Good. First, let's connect on Instagram, take a screenshot of your podcast player, and tag me at Lauren Tilden. Second, I would be so honored if you'd leave a rating and review in your favorite podcast player, and don't forget to subscribe and follow. And finally, if you have a friend that you think would enjoy the podcast, send them the link. Today's episode can be found at makinggoodpodcast.com/225. This episode was produced and edited by Corinne Monaco. Thank you for being here and for focusing on making a difference with your small business. Talk to you next time.